Thank you, Ricky, for a bit of a recap there for those of you who haven't been with us for the other sessions. And yeah, I just want to start by saying my burden for all of us is that we would run our race well and experience the fulfillment, the peace, and the joy that comes from that right relationship with God, right relationships with others. And to recognize that the intent of the gospel, the good news of forgiveness in Christ and of sanctification, that the intention of that is that we would be transformed, that we would not continue in sin, that we would be transformed. I love how it talks about as we behold Christ, we are transformed from glory to glory, more into the image of Jesus. And that's what it's about, and that's possible. So wherever you find yourself in your journey, victory and joy, it's only going to be found in Jesus. And yeah, that's a burden I have for all of us. So this session is titled, Are You Running With Jesus? Maybe this is one that should be at the beginning. I don't know. I'd put them in this order. But going to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This verse comes after chapter 11, which we would know as the faith chapter. It talks about the heroes of the faith, Abraham, Moses. You have a list of examples of faith in chapter 11, and then it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses. So we have these people that have gone on before us, that have been faithful. But you can't exactly sit down with Moses, you can't sit down with Abraham, can you? No, they've already run their race. And I'm thinking this morning of my grandfather back in Delaware. I mentioned yesterday he's nearing the end of his race, and he has run well. And the reason he is finishing well is because of choices he made back when he was a young married man. There were some hard things. And by God's grace, he was able to make choices and take a direction that has resulted in so much blessing in our family. I said I don't think I would be here today if he had not made some of those choices. But yeah, he's at the stage in his journey where any moment he could be called home. And so yeah, we might, after these sessions, I might hear that. And but yeah, once he's gone, he's a part of the cloud of witnesses that have gone on before now. And if I'm honest, I have a little bit of regret that I didn't make better use of, it's not that I neglected my grandfather, but now I'm wrestling with, there's so many more things I should have asked him about. I should have heard more of his story. I should have sought his counsel more, or just, Grandpa, what do you do with this? Or what do you think of this? Anyway, I give that illustration because it'll come in, that'll connect a little bit later on here in this session. But anyway, getting back to the idea here is we have this cloud of witnesses that have gone before. We don't necessarily have access to them, but we do have access to those who are running with us now. But I'm going to first talk about running with Jesus. And for that, I would like you to turn to Psalm 23. This is a psalm that we recite with our children before bedtime every night. And I must confess, sometimes in the stress and the chaos of life, it can become mechanical. But this is such a beautiful psalm. But the first point for today is, so the question is, are you running with Jesus? And the first point is, or the first statement I would like you to take with you is, run with Jesus as your shepherd. If you're here today and you don't have the Good Shepherd, you are lost. And yeah, I urge you to come to the Good Shepherd if that's where you're at. But Psalm 23, I'm going to take the time to read this and then highlight a few things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One way you could interpret this passage, you could take the first verse where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That has the idea of I shall not suffer lack. And so I want to think about that. Let's look down through here. What are the things that you will not lack if you make Jesus your shepherd? First off, we have the green pastures and the still waters. I think of rest. Do you know, how are you experiencing the rest that is in Christ? There is a rest that remaineth. We're longing for that complete, full rest. It's not here yet. But we can experience rest with Christ as our shepherd. Restoration and provision. Good things to eat. Green pastures. Spiritual food. He is the bread of life. Feed on Jesus. Still waters. He is the water of life. Nothing else will satisfy but what Christ, the Good Shepherd, provides. Second thing we see here that we have with Christ as our shepherd is guidance. And specifically, in what paths? The paths of righteousness. So thinking back to session one, what path or what direction? The paths of righteousness. Don't be deceived. The race that we are running as believers has boundaries. And it is within what God has given us in his word. We dare not take that lightly. We need to run according to the rules, as Paul says. But he guides us in paths of righteousness. Another thing we have with Christ as our shepherd is confidence in trials or in suffering. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't be deceived as well. Coming to Christ does not mean life is just going to be better circumstantially. Doesn't mean everything's going to fall into place. It's not the health and wealth or the prosperity gospel that we read in the scriptures. If you look at the end of Hebrews 11, you see some of those heroes of the faith suffered horribly. And yet, they hung on to their faith. They were able to fear no evil because they were the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Another thing we have is the correction and protection of the shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We talked a little bit in one of the sessions about the chastening of the Lord and how it's not pleasant to be disciplined. I haven't met a child that enjoys being disciplined. But there is a blessing in it in that it shows the care that the parent has for the child, the love. If you do not discipline your children, do you really love them? If you just, and so God is the best parent we could ask for, but he will protect us and correct us as we need it. Also, we see in this psalm, if Jesus is your shepherd, he will provide for you in enemy territory. He provides a table in the presence of your enemies. We also see in the second half of verse 5. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. I don't know if I have the right interpretation here, but oil has often been used typologically of the Spirit. And Jesus talked about being the when he gives the Spirit, it'll be like a well of water springing up and overflowing. So I like that picture of if you make Jesus your shepherd, you will have the anointing and overflow of the Spirit in your life. And then at the end here, we have continual goodness and mercy following you. I need that. Another verse I'm so thankful for is that his mercies are new every morning, and he is faithful. He gives us what we need for the day, just like a shepherd guides his flock, leading them to the right place for grazing, for sustaining them. And then lastly, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. There's no place like home. And I'm sure my children are looking forward to getting home to their little blue house. We were at SMBI recently. We have a little blue house, by the way. Anyway, but Chloe said, what did she say? We were getting close to the end of our time at SMBI back in January and early February. And she's like, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay at my little blue house. But yeah, there's no place like home. And in all of our hearts as believers, in a sense, right now, we are at home in Christ, but yet not fully. We're still longing for home. And this is maybe a bunny trail, but the desires that you have for food, for water, longing for home, like all of these desires we have, physical desires, they are shadows of the greatest desire that we really have, which is to know and experience Christ. So just like you need water, you need Christ. Just like you need food, you need Christ. And so all these things are meant to show us our greatest need is Christ. But the first point today is make sure that Jesus is your shepherd. Know and listen to his voice. Another thing, when you are in trouble, don't be a dumb sheep. Don't run further into trouble. Run to the shepherd right away. That's a key word, right away. Don't try to get out of trouble yourself in your own strength. Cry out to the shepherd. Don't try to fix yourself before coming to the shepherd. I think sometimes we can struggle and we try to fix ourselves. And what we really need to do is run to the good shepherd, or bleat to the good shepherd, if you will. Follow him closely, and please don't despise the rod and the staff. They are for our good and for our sanctification. So nothing super profound in that first part, but it's important. Make sure that you are one of Christ's sheep, that you are listening to him, you are following him. And when you look at Psalm 23 and just look down through that, the list of the ways God is sufficient for us as his sheep, why would anyone not want that, to experience that in their life, to have Christ be your shepherd? The second point for today's message is, or this session is, don't run alone. Don't run alone. So obviously you need to be running with Jesus, but I'm taking this a little bit further now. And for that, I want to go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." I'm going to stop there because this isn't about marriage, and I'm not suggesting, yeah. Please hear me out. By what I'm about to say, I'm not suggesting that everyone needs to rush to get married as soon as possible. So we'll clarify that. But I know this context is about marriage, and it's about God creating Eve. But I believe it goes deeper than simply talking about marriage. I believe what a fundamental truth about what it means to be human is in this verse. So here's the fundamental truth about what it means to be, humanity. To be human and alone is not good. So write that down. To be human, which we're human, so anyway, we could just say to be alone is not good. Now I have a question. What does it mean to be alone? Does it just mean to be off by yourself somewhere? Can it mean more than that? Have you ever been somewhere with a group of people and been alone? You can nod if I'm ready. It helps me if you give me a little bit of feedback. Can you be sitting here this morning in this group of people and be alone? Yes, you can. You can be alone. And so that takes me to, okay, well, how can you be alone when you're surrounded by people? How can you be alone, even maybe in your family or in your church, in your youth group? How can you be alone? And I would submit to you that to be alone is to not be known. To be alone is to not be known for who you truly are. So if you are a sheep of the Good Shepherd this morning, but no one else knows you, you are still, in a sense, alone. So maybe Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 is also an argument to be made for why we need to be a part of the body of believers, why we need to be connected with others. So to be alone is to not be known for who you truly are by God and by others. So even marriage is not a solution to the problem of aloneness. You can get married and still be alone if you are unwilling to be fully known by your spouse. So how do we fix this problem of aloneness? The solution to aloneness is to be known for who you truly are, and this takes transparency and vulnerability. You must be willing to be fully known. No one can actually know you without you allowing them to, or without you seeking to be known. And it's my fear that there's many people in our circles who are becoming discouraged with the Christian life because they are in this situation. They're trying in their own strength to conquer something, whatever, but they don't want anyone else to know. So they are alone. And they need to be able to take that step of transparency and vulnerability. And this is biblical, by the way. James says, confessing your faults one to another and praying for one another that ye may be healed. So this takes transparency and vulnerability. This takes courage. And this is a scary thing to do because there's a fear, what if I am rejected? If people really knew who I am or what I struggle with, would they reject me? It's a very real fear. And so a challenge for those of us who maybe aren't struggling as much or we're experiencing victory, the joy of the Lord. When someone is vulnerable with us, are we safe people to bring them to restoration? Because that's the heart of God, is restoration and reconciliation and forgiveness, victory. And so, if you find yourself alone this morning, think of someone who is mature in the faith, a pastor, someone you know, and pursue discipleship, openness, transparency with them. Mentorship is a thing you could call it. I think it's great to have peers that know you for who you really are. But sometimes when it's all just, you know, people where you're at in your journey, you can sometimes, it can sometimes turn into a thing of you're not really pushing each other as much as you really could if you get someone who's farther ahead in the journey that can speak into your life and say, hey, here's what you need to do. I'll walk with you. Let's get some growth here or whatever area of life you're working on. So I would submit to you that without being truly known, discipleship is impossible. Without being truly known, discipleship is impossible. So, okay, well, that brings me to the third point today, which is pursue discipleship. I made the statement yesterday, and no one corrected me on it, so I guess I'm okay. See, that's the other thing. Adults in the room, you can feel free to correct. We're all adults. Well, not we're all. Feel free to correct me if I'm not being scriptural, because we need that. But I said something like this yesterday, I believe. I said, just you and God isn't enough. And I'm not saying that to say that God isn't sufficient for us. But God has chosen to design this race that it isn't just between you and him. It's between you and him and your brothers and sisters around you as well. And he wants to use your brothers and sisters in the church in your sanctification. It is not, you're not an island. You're not intended to be. You're not intended to be alone. You're intended to run the race together. Now, it's a little tricky because I said, too, that only you can run your individual race. So you have your individual race that you're running, but it is also with the rest of the body. I mean, the body itself, that analogy, you don't disconnect the body. That hurts. It hurts a lot. And you don't, I mean, think about that analogy. If you stepped outside and you saw a hand laying on the sidewalk, the first response would not be, oh, yeah, that's okay, that's normal. No, you would be like, this is, there's been a crime. We need to find the body for this hand. What's going on? But is that any different than not being willing, than saying, I'm a believer, but I'm not willing to be a part of or accountable to the body? If you're a part of the body, you're a part of the body. That's the way it is. And you need to pursue brotherhood, close brotherhood and discipleship. All right, I'm getting a little bit off track here. Pursue discipleship. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. If you're here today and you're struggling to have victory over sin, or you're struggling to grow spiritually, I submit to you that you must be willing to be vulnerable and transparent with others in the body to pursue victory. We talked about 1 John yesterday, walking in the light, nothing hidden. This does not, and you're going to have things you run into, times where you fail. That doesn't have to define you, but you don't want to hide those things. Bring it to the light, deal with it, confess it, repent, and walk onward, run onward with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is not something that you can, in the church, this is not something that you can mandate. It's only something I can encourage you to do. Because it doesn't really work to legislate it, because we're really good at being surface when we want to be surface. We can be vague and leave people guessing what's really going on, but we're kind of saying, yeah, I struggle, but that's about as specific as we'll get. This has to be something you decide, I want this, I need this, and you go to people who are mature in the faith, who are seeking victory, living in victory, and you seek discipleship and mentorship. I think sometimes we've lost the vision of what discipleship is. And I'm trying to be honest, I'm young. I don't have it figured out. I'm still trying to figure out what should this look like in the church. Because I can look out at this group of people and I can see how you appear. And it's like, in a sense, it's like, oh, everyone looks like they're doing fine. You know, everyone looks decent. Put together. You know, maybe your different church, it's like, okay, they're in alignment with their church standards. Yep, everything's probably fine. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you're really fine. Because you can pretend. You can check the boxes and not be right in your heart between you and the Lord. And so, pursue one another. If you think someone's struggling, ask them. Give them the opportunity to. Sometimes people might need to be nudged into this being open and vulnerable. But if you're going to ask people, make sure you're a safe person for them to trust. But anyway. Maybe you've been stuck in a rut of sin. Maybe you have been unable to cut loose some weights that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about. Now the decision is yours. Will you humble yourself to go to your fellow runners, confess your faults to them? Will you ask for prayer? And then, will you continue? Sometimes it might be easy to do that here, or then a little late, but then to fall back in, you have to continue to seek accountability and discipleship. It might not be third in your notes, sorry, but another point, and this goes along with humility, you have to be able to get over yourself. You have to be able to get over yourself and recognize your brokenness. We're all broken people. No one here does not have brokenness. We all need the Lord and his sanctifying touch in our lives. I love this verse in Psalms. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has pity on those who fear him, for he knows of what we are made. He remembers that we are dust. God knows the challenge. He wants you to run to him. Another verse, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He understands the trials, the temptations you face. So don't let pride hold you back from walking in the light, from being open and transparent. Try to overcome the fear of being rejected if you open up. Please don't let pride or fear keep you from experiencing the abundant life of joy, victory, and peace that Jesus wants you to experience. Humble yourself. Remember, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So in conclusion, make Jesus your shepherd. Be willing to be known by your brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe that combination is a key to experiencing the fullness of victory that God has for us in his plan. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one here that you would help us to be your sheep, to follow you, to know your voice, not to despise your correction, to be grateful that you are you care about us and you love us and you pursue us. And I also pray that you would help us, give us a vision for what it looks like or should look like for us to disciple, be discipled by one another, to be vulnerable, to be willing to open up. Lord, I ask for revival, that that could happen in people's lives, in our churches. Because it is only as we open up, as we walk in the light, that we have the assurance of your cleansing blood, your forgiveness. And it says we have fellowship as well, the sweet fellowship with one another, when we are able to be known for who we truly are and to know others as well, and to walk with you, to run the race of life together with you, our good shepherd. Just pray that you would help us to, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to each of us, that we would be faithful to add direction to our intentions. In Jesus' name, amen.